Lord, I see you in everything. I know that you are here. I've seen prayers answered. I know they are heard. I've been blessed by your work and your messages and in gathering with others. Thank you. Maybe it's in spending so much time in watching the storm clouds gathering. Maybe in watching for the end. Maybe it's because I focus too intently on the time and not on who controls it. No, I don't forget you. But the times, yeah, they draw me in, not gently as your embrace does, but a grabbing and a shaking that sometimes leaves me dizzy and reeling and sick to my stomach. I can confirm my belief in you by the peace I find and the rest I know when I regain my focus on you. And yet even so, I must ask for increase in my faith, as in these times I feel myself begin to tremble. As things continue to fall apart while falling into place, may your peace and rest fall about me. I pray that also, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. If these are in fact the last days, there is much trouble ahead, hard times for both believer and non-believer. Decisions will need to be made, stands will need to be taken, and trust needs to be built. And all the while our faith must continue to increase, and in that we will know rest through the power of your hand, for in it is the complete fullness of life both here on earth and when we get home to be with you, Lord, in your kingdom. At this moment, what so many seek is peace. But they find it eluding the earth, though, and all of its inhabitants. There is nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Darkness has descended upon the earth as it prepares for the coming Antichrist and the final battles for your creation. To those who follow their father, the devil, to those who turn their back to Jesus and God the Father, I have for you a spoiler alert. In the end, Jesus is victor. He is proclaimed King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I know that around the world today, babies are crying out of hunger, and mothers weep as they struggle to find food for them. And we see that children are being sold into slavery to satisfy the sexual appetites of the wicked and the weak. And we see people are dying because they are thirsty and hungry. Their souls cry out for rescue, for relief, for help. And when they refuse your hand, Lord, there's no one left to turn to who can remove the heavy burden from them. And they choose death over life. Heavy is the weather that threatens, tornadoes and hurricanes, drought. We feel the earth shifting and diverse in many places, and we see the belching of the earth at its very crust that supports us as it is spewing into the heavens. And the heavens in return, they pour out as they are so heavy with water. And the wicked and the evil are gathering and devising the next phase of their scheme, their plan to overthrow your creation, Lord, and to reshape it into what they envision. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. Psalm 37:12-13. From heaven you laugh at their plans. Their wickedness is folly, and they forget the plans you have set into place and the length of days for them to come to completion, to fruition. They believe you've forgotten them. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief, and you consider it to take it into hand. Psalm 10:13-14a. And so we see that for them, there's been a place prepared, an eternal place. He hasn't forgotten. From Matthew 25, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but to the righteous, to eternal life. Unlike God's children who will find rest in heaven, the evil and the wicked, they like their father the devil, will when the time is no more, forever and ever. Remember the great day of judgment and your face, Lord. As you gave to them what they so clearly sought for everyone else to have and to experience, weeping and gnashing of teeth, as they blame you, blame me, blame each other, blame anyone but themselves for where they stand on that day. Some will see the error of their ways, and many will scream forever the growl of hate, the hate that lies so deep within them, and forever they will be falling into the night. I hate them for what they do today, Lord. And yet, I sorrow for them, and for the choices they made, for the lies they believed, and the delusion that consumed them. O Lord, I think perhaps the hardest to think about are those that we love who will join in with those who are filled with such hatred, such wickedness, and such evil, and yet there they will stand because they denied your gift of salvation. They denied accepting a gift from you, a birthday or a wedding gift from a friend or family member, or a stimulus check, a monthly support, a gift from the government. They will accept without question, but from you, no way. Why is that, Lord? Is it because you will call them to account? The government throws money around. It's not theirs. They have no standard for accountability. They are unaccountable themselves. But you will reveal to a person those things that they must change, those things that will strengthen them and cause them to grow and to be stronger, a better person, those things that will cause them to be drawn into a relationship with you. You will make them aware of their choices and the consequences of those choices, whether good or bad. The government, on the other hand, encourages irresponsibility. They encourage dependency upon them and don't even think about growing. Rather, they work to tear you down, to divide community and family. They separate you and throw you into the mix all at the same time. This institution called the government is but a cover for men and women who do not follow you and your ways, Lord. Evil and wickedness lies in the halls of what was once justice. I grieve for those, Lord, who will waste their time, their days, depending on people and a system that doesn't care or have real concern about a person as to whether they live or they die. So dark have become the halls of the government, so dark the hearts of our leaders, so dark the plans for your creation. For these men and women seek and desire a creation that is completely void of its creator. Lord, they know not what they do. Jesus came to save. But when he comes again, it is to judge. And if he does not know you, if you have only covered your true feelings and true self under the glossing of lip service, you will hear these words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And many will find themselves standing where they never truly imagined they would be, hearing the Lord saying, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Matthew 7:23. When we begin to question God's faithfulness to his word, we will find ourselves standing in a precarious place. Think of sitting on a fence, not fully believing in his power, yet satisfied with what you know about him. I remind you that Jesus spoke these words about such situations and its participants from Revelation 3:16. So because you are lukewarm, a Christian in name but not in heart, paraphrased, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Why does it matter? Well, Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Rome, and it stands as a reminder to all of mankind, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So what does that mean to me? It means that I must be saved. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Without a restored relationship with God, and that can only come about through a relationship with his son Jesus Christ, we are destined to an eternity without him. So when you think about these words, remember that it is not that we might be or should be or could be, but we must be. Without Jesus, there is no hope. There's only one way, one truth, and one life. We have looked at the earth today, at the abyss that will eternally be dark and filled with anger and groans of pity and screams filled with fits of rage, but we've not looked at heaven. I don't know if words can describe the beauty that we will find all around us, the glory of God, never again pain, never again the threat of death or departure. Never again will so great a sacrifice need to be made to rescue the lost, because never again will there be such a being, neither angel nor man. All will be as it should be, with the children of God, those born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God and filled with his Spirit. These are the remnant of heaven and earth that will inhabit the kingdom of God. And to think the choice on where a person will spend eternity and with whom comes down to whether you will reach out your hand and accept his gift. The gift of salvation was thought of with you in mind by God the Father, paid for by his Son Jesus, who is the Father's Christ, his anointed one, our Messiah. And it's delivered to you by his Holy Spirit. No greater gift ever given. No greater gift ever received. What say you?